He said, son, have you seen the world? Well, what would you say if I said that you could just carry this gun? You'll even get paid. I said, that sounds pretty good. Black leather boots, spit shine so bright. They cut off my hair, but it looks alright. We marched and we sang, we all became friends as we learned how to fight. A hero of war, yeah, that's what I'll be. And when I come home, they'll be damn proud of me. I'll carry this flag to the grave if I must, 'cause it's a flag that I love and a flag that I trust. I kicked in the door, I yelled my commands. The children, they cried, but I got my man. We took him away, a bag over his face, from his family and his friends. They took off his clothes, they pissed in his hands. I told them to stop, but then I joined in. We beat him with guns and batons, not just once, but again and again. A hero of war, yeah, that's what I'll be. And when I come home, they'll be damn proud of me. I'll carry this flag to the grave if I must, 'cause it's a flag that I love and a flag that I trust. She walked through bullets and haze. I asked her to stop, I begged her to stay, but she pressed on. So I lifted my gun and I fired away. And the shells jumped through the smoke and into the sand that the blood now had soaked. She collapsed with a flag in her hand, a flag white as snow. Hero of war, is that what they see? Just medals and scars, so damn proud of me. And I brought home that flag, now it gathers dust, but it's a flag that I love, it's the only flag I trust.
Welcome and thank you for listening to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. If you've just joined us, what we're listening to is Vulture's Picnic. Greg Palast presents his investigation of the BP oil spill and talks about the corruption he says permeates the oil industry, the financial sector, and the government. And here is Greg.
But what about the bribery? I mean, it takes... You can cover up an oil spill with money. You can cover up a blowout with money. And how do you do that? Now, we meet the bag man in the Oriental Club in London. You'll meet him, and you know he talks about taking two bags down to Azerbaijan to make the payoff, $30 million in one bag. The other bag was Lady Thatcher, and they went down. And all he could show me was the empty bag. I need better than that. So I called hunted down a CIA agent who just got a $90 million check from BP, and I knew he was in no good mood. That's because by my calculation, and he's no fool, that's about $180 million short. So I had a demi-billionaire with a Jones on for BP former CIA agent. So he agrees to meet with me in a safe house. And I said, so what's going on? How are they getting away with this? He said, BP pays bribes. Okay, and I said, well, first of all, I can't just say that. You know, in Britain, because all my programs, by the way, all this material you're hearing is prime time British television. Here it's no time American television. So this may all sound surprising. If you're in Britain, you say, yeah, I just saw nightly news last week on the front page of the Guardian. The top of the nightly news was a story about Goldfinger right out of Vulture's Picnic. You heard on saw it on page zero here. I think that the Washington Izvestian, New York Pravda forgot it about it. But I said, I can't say this because Britain, oddly, has no freedom of the press or freedom of speech. There is no First Amendment. There's no Bill of Rights as we have it. And actually, with my union, we've been fighting to get that First Amendment freedom of speech and freedom of press. Though I've suggested they could just borrow ours because we're not using it. So I said, come on. How do you know, you're telling me that they bribed. I said, how much? He said, well, at least one bribe was $84 million. That was just one. $84 million. And I said, and he said, and it's nicely divided among seven oil companies. I said, hey, I can't say that without getting my keister sued. And you know, I have to have some proof. And he says, well, yeah, they sent me an invoice for his share of the bribe. It's in the book, okay? And that's why we occupy, okay? And we occupy for ETOC. Now, there's no sugar bubbles in here. Look at this white can of Coca-Cola. Have you seen this around? Okay, and there's three little cute little polar bears on it. You see that? Have you seen this around? And if you look at it, you read the stuff, it says, if you take this can, get the number off, go to a website, and you donate a dollar, Coca-Cola will put one more dollar in to create a sanctuary for the endangered polar bear. I'm an investigative reporter. My first question is, why do polar bears need a sanctuary? Why are they going to the cola zoo? I thought that the polar bear sanctuary was the polar cap. Why are we moving the polar bears? What's going on here? Well, I get a message from the chief of intelligence of the Free Republic of the Arctic, who calls, says, you got to get up right now to Kaktovik. Where's Kaktovik? I look on Google Map. You know, it's an island off the north slope of Alaska above the Arctic Circle. So now I'm waiting for my staff to send me another message from Santa's elves. But instead I get another missive from the intelligence chief of the Free Republic of the Arctic, who says ETOC will be waiting for you. He's expecting you. Now ETOC, so I turned to Bad Penny and I said, see if we can charter a plane with skis that'll land on the ice. ETOC is the legendary whale hunter and leader of the Eskimos of the North Slope of Alaska. He doesn't waste his time. I didn't think he'd waste mine. I landed. And he says, they're tagging the polar bears. I said, yeah. He said, they're tagging the polar bears. So I contacted the Department of Interior. They're tagging the polar bears. It's a census of endangered species. We always tag endangered species, track them. He said, no. They're tagging them to move them. Okay. Why are they moving them? It's what's under the bears. Oil. And I said, now, wait, whoa, whoa. We are at the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Even George the Driller Bush couldn't get down into that. And furthermore, ETOC, no oil company's going to drill where the ice sheet, polar sheet, keeps coming in every winter. It would just wash away those rigs. And he said, Mr. Pallast, global warming is a profit center. The ice cap here is now permanently receding. In other words, the guys who are melting the caps are profiting from it. The guys who start the fire make the money from the fire sale. They want that oil that's now being exposed. And I said, they can't do it. It's Arctic Wildlife Refuge. So he said, yeah. He said, let me show you something. He took me out. So to be polite, he invites me out to lunch. He takes me out to a whale. And we get inside a whale carcass, which is easily as big as this room. Easily. And in the carcass. And we eat some share a lunch of fermented whale meat and congealed blood. Now, if you ever have a chance to eat fermented whale meat and congealed blood, don't. You can see in one of the films, you can see me trying not to, you know, do the social faux pas of vomiting on my host. And you'll also see E-Talk, who he called me up in part because I'm, you know, BBC broadcast, British Broadcasting Government, and so he wanted to speak as he's a head of state. So he wanted to speak to my head of state, the Queen, and tell her that there's a better place to put her oil well. And I said, it's anatomically impossible. He said, whales don't like to swim in oil any more than humans do. And we live on whales. He took me out for a reason. Whales for the Eskimo up there are not a cultural experience. It's a lunch experience. No whales, no Eskimo, except to clean porta potties on the rigs. No, that ain't happening. But I said, it's not going to, you know, I just couldn't report that. I didn't see how they were going to drill there, put the bears in the zoo. August 4 of this year, Obama authorized the permit for the drilling at Kaktovik, offshore. That's why we occupy. And we occupy for Janessa Gregg. She's 13-year-old, about my daughter's age, was my daughter's age. Oh, I see these ads in the Washington Post, big full-page ads, Wall Street Journal. 530,000 new U.S. jobs. We need the Keystone XL pipeline. It's going to cut America in half with a big pipe. But don't worry, it's safe. You know why it's safe? They said, look at the rules we have. We have a thick rule book. And we have all this new fancy safety equipment. In fact, if you listen to National Petroleum Radio, it's called a smart pig. And you put a pig in every pipe. There's a pig in every pipeline. Not just the Exxon executive that gets sucked in once in a while, but it's a robot, okay? It's a computer robot and has whiskers, except they're wires, lasers, GPS, the whole thing. Every pipeline has to have them. They run through the pipeline, they beep and they boop, and they tell you when there's corrosion, when there's cracks, when there's leaks, when something's going to go wrong and blow up or whatever, or leak. I don't get it. There's a lot of dumb pigs out there because we had cracks at Yellowstone, big spills, Yellowstone, Alaskan pipeline, all over the place, and they're going to light up 100,000 miles of new pipes with the new fracking. What's going on? How come some pigs are kind of dumb? So I put out the word through my oil industry connects and get back a note from Pigman. That's all I can call him, Pigman 1, and then Pigman 2 and Pigman 3. They have the same story. The pigs have been silenced. Now, how do you silence a pig? Can't threaten it. What you do is you silence it with software. Okay? This is the chapter Pig in the Pipeline, A Vulture's Picnic. Okay, so they silence, or they turn it, what they do is they use the technology, the software is desensitizing the pig. It analyzes it in such a way that it just doesn't beep and boop the way it should. It's kind of like pulling the battery out of your smoke detector in your kid's room. Fine, unless you have a fire. Now, it's stupid if you do it in your kid's room. It's criminal if you do it on a pipeline because the rules are really specific. And so I said, look, you got to go on camera. No. You're giving me the I said, I can't do anything unless you agree to be at least speak in shadow. No. The result. And then, last year, San Bruno, California, what happens? Boom. Boom. Gas pipeline blows up. 8 people are incinerated, including 13-year-old Janessa Gregg and her mom. Pigman 2 and 3 run away. No kidding. It's not an accident anymore. It's not an accident. It's a homicide. They don't want to be around this issue. Pigman 1 says, when I saw the pictures and I saw the names of the kids and moms, he said, put me on camera. Put him in shadow, but we got the information. Accident, no. Homicide, yes. That's why we occupy. And we occupy for Chief Criollo and his sons. Actually, I didn't have to do an investigation of BP, run around 4 continents, because PBS did one. In fact, we asked if could we do it jointly, because I'm an expert in the oil area, and I'd report it, whoa. They wouldn't do it with us. They said, because we're doing our own. Frontline is doing something called The Spill, and they put it on the air. It was excellent. It told you all about that the problem was BP's lack of a safety culture. That BP had been ignoring problems with oil drilling safety for years. And I thought, well, actually, PBS has been ignoring problems with oil drilling safety for years, but that's a different question. So it's, but it's BP's lack of a safety culture, like not wearing, you know, gloves at the opera or something. Unlike Chevron Corporation, they actually had, PBS had the president of Chevron on Frontline, to say, this wouldn't happen with us, not Chevron. We have a culture of safety. So BBC Television said, you better check out Chevron's culture of safety. I said, why do we have to? We just saw it on PBS. They said, Palast, look at their website. I looked at the website. I see nothing. I said, go in the Wayback Machine about 6 months and look at their website. And sure enough, PBS NewsHour, right at the top, is this logo of their national PBS sponsor, Chevron Corporation. Chevron Petroleum. Now, no connection. I don't want anyone making connections. We don't make connections in America. So I can't, they said, well, you cannot rely on the reporting of the petroleum broadcast system, so you're going to have to go down, check out Chevron yourself in the Amazon, where their Texaco unit has been accused of dumping oil all over the place, poisoning the local people. Kids are dying. And I said, well, but the Wall Street Journal said it's all a fraud. And the New York Times repeated that the Wall Street Journal said it's all a fraud. It's called investigative repeating as opposed to investigative reporting. And I said, I'm not allowed to do that in Britain. In fact, by the way, the BBC is not allowed to take money from British Petroleum, PBS does. Now, so they said, you got to go down. I said, but how do I get there? And they said, oh, get up, we'll arrange a boat. So I take these planes and over the Andes and take a Jeep into the jungle. I know, if you're in the Sierra Club, it's a rainforest. But if, when you're there, it's a jungle, take my word for it. And we're in the jungle, the rain's coming down. We get to the end of this Jeep track, and the guy says, this guy's driving this Jeep says, Subarco. I go looking around for, Humphrey Bogart and the African Queen to come down the Amazon here and take me to the Cofan native village. And instead, he says, Subarco, your boat. And he's pointing, you'll see it in the film, he's pointing at a log, dugout log with a hand-carved paddle. And I see my hat floating down to Brasilia. Luckily, there's a guy just like this native comes, this indigenous person comes out of the jungle rainforest and grabs a paddle and off we go to the Cofan native village. And I go to check out these, you know, these con men. Because, see, what we're told by Chevron, by the Wall Street Journal, is that, it, you know, it's all a con. So I meet this guy, the chief, Criollo, and he's very formal because he's confronting Chevron, so he's got war paint, really. And I said, okay, with the makeup guy and the Hollywood job, what's going on here? He said, my son went swimming in the watering holes here, and I'm looking around. Now, I know, because I investigated the Exxon Valdez. You'll get that story in the book, the real story, because the real culprit is British Petroleum, but you have to read that. I look around, and I smell around hydrocarbon. You see that telltale little rainbow on the water, and it's everywhere. And I pick up sticks. I go to some places, you pick up sticks and glops. It may, after you'll see that I go down to the oil in the Gulf. Okay, that's where a Greenpeace submarine comes in. But I go down, and compared to the Amazon, I mean, the Gulf after the spill was like Kew Gardens, man. This was bad. And so I said, so his son went swimming in a watering hole. It looked okay, but his son came up vomiting blood and died. His older son took longer to die of leukemia. So I take the oil, I take whatever stuff I have, and I go to Quito and meet with the lawyers for Chevron and their Texaco unit, and they say, so, and I'm not exaggerating the body language, please. They say, so, these are the only kids who've ever gotten cancer? Okay, fair. And he said, you don't get cancer from oil. And I showed him a study from some doctors who said that kids are getting leukemia from oil toxins in the oil drilling areas in the Amazon. He said, oh, okay. Well, he said, well, maybe it's oil, but you can't prove it's our oil. That's impossible because there's no documents, there's no evidence that it's our oil. And I said, yeah, I didn't see that. But I have this document. You'll see this in the book, too, in Vulture's Picnic. in the chapter called The Cheese Smelled Funny Because We Threw It in the Jungle. Oh, by the way, oh yeah, it's the Kofan's oil that they took. How did Chevron take the Kofan's oil? Well, they came down in a helicopter and they explained it all, you know, in Spanish to the Kofan, who didn't speak Spanish, right? And they, you know, they said, here's some knives and some trinkets and some cheese. And the native said, the cheese smelled funny, so we didn't know what it was. Threw it in the ocean. They threw it in the jungle rainforest. That's how Chevron got the oil. And, but they also brought them diesel oil. And, of course, the Kofan said, what do you do with this? And they said, well, just rub it all over your body and it will cure all your ailments. So they got their oil. So I said, what about this document? Now, this is from someone who calls himself the Presidente de la Junta. R.C. Shields, who's the president of the Texaco unit, what is now the Texaco unit of Chevron, and he's ordering three items. He's ordering his workers and executives to remove all documents related to the dumping of oil and oil waste in the Amazon from their main offices and from the campsites, the work sites. And all those documents are to be destruidos. Destruidos. So I asked him, what does that mean? He said, destroyed. Destroyed. And I said, well, in my interpretation is it means felony hard time, obstruction of justice. What do you think? And that's why we occupy. Now we occupy for Sachiko Sato. The book was done. Vulture's Picnic was done. My capitalist publisher said we need it out now. I was done. March 11, evening March 12, tsunami, earthquake, Fukushima is shaking, the nuclear plant's there. And I said to Bad Penny, not going to make it, going to melt. She said, oh, so now you're clairvoyant for machines 2,000 miles away. I said, no, file cabinets. I said, go into the file cabinets. It was quite an argument, actually. You know that in Raiders of the Lost Ark, they have those big rooms, the big file cabinets. Those are my file cabinets. Go back to 1988 when I was doing for the government, federal, state, and local government in New York, racketeering investigation of the nuclear power plant builders, Stone and Webster. By the way, you may know Stone and Webster. You know, if you ever read John Perkins' Confessions of an Economic Hitman, that's who he was hitting for. I was on the other side. I was getting hit. Okay.
You can hear great speeches and interviews on accesssacramento.org, or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Sing a song. If the sun reveals a shine, I don't mind. If the mountains fill in the sea, let it be, it ain't me.
Conservative flashing down the street, pointing their plastic finger at me. They'll pursue my kind of drop and dive. I'm gonna wave my freak flag. We'll be right back. just don't follow me. Right on, Mr. Businessman. You can't dress like me. It's time for me to die. So let me live my life the way I want to. There. Sing on, brother. Play on.
More from Great Speeches and Interviews after these messages.